Welcome to MLB.com Extra, Miami Marlins edition. I'm Paul Hagan, here with Matthew Leach. We'll be talking to Joe Fusaro, the beat writer for MLB.com. Marlins, a fascinating young team, seemingly on the rise, have made some controversial moves in the last few years, get a lot of young players that are starting to come through and help them win right around 500 this year. Matt, what do you think?
I feel like there may be a year ahead of schedule. I'm sure they don't think that. I think the expectations there were pretty high. But, you know, there's a lot to like about this club. And, you know, look, even when they made the moves, there was a lot to like about them from a baseball perspective. So I think that, like you say, it's a club heading in the right direction. Joe, where does the front office think they are? I mean, they're kind of on the fringes of contention, but they're not out of it. What do they think about as they head to the deadline and as they head into the second half?
I think they're pleasantly surprised, and also, you know, thinking what's next. I mean, this is a team, as we all know, had a long way to go to get to this point, and the fact that the division, no one ran away with it in the first half, and they performed very well, and even after Jose Fernandez went down, still, you know, to be, you know, right around 500 pretty much the entire first half, it put him in position of not only just hold the team together and build, but do we add? You know, and that's kind of where they are right now.
Yeah, how do they answer that? How do they balance it? Because I feel like that's a really – I mean, it's an essential question for every club where they are on that cycle. But I feel like for the Marlins, where they clearly are trying to build something long-term, how do they answer that question internally about where are we on the success cycle? Is this a year to go for it? Is this a year to hold? How do they answer that question? Where do you think they're going to come down on that?
I think they're realistic, and they also have to be optimistic because, you know, the guy they're trying to wow the most is the right fielder and the face of the franchise, Giancarlo Stanton. Any sign that they are looking to kind of, oh, well, maybe take a little bit of a step back or maybe we're a little anything that can impede him from wanting to sign long term is very dangerous footing, you know, because this guy is clearly playing at an MVP level and wants this team, you know, to win right now. Team wants to win right now, but they also have to be really careful in how they move forward to make it seem like they're adding, not subtracting.
Do they have to add a significant piece to keep him happy, Joe, or can they just stick with the status quo?
The status quo and bringing like Andrew Heaney back in the second half and hoping that their top pitching prospect performs well and they finish up close to 500, I think everyone would be real happy. But if they want to get a second wild card or, you know, one of those wild card spots, clearly they have to add. And they have to add a starting pitcher, is my opinion, because, you know, just the innings lost by Jose has really, really, really hurt them. And, you know, obviously Samardzija and Hamill are off the market, both going to Oakland. I don't see them giving the pieces and taking on the potential salary of David Price. So, you know, it's going to be add that starter, but it's going to cost them something. But if it's a controllable piece for a few years, I think that's what they're going to look to try to add.
This is a club that over the years has pretty clearly defined itself by its starting pitching. I mean, that's such a big part. I think that they really seems like they really have a philosophy that you kind of start and go from there. And the rotation has been pretty good, and I think if you're being fair, quite good in the absence of Fernandez. But what do you expect from these guys in the second half? You've got some guys who haven't put up a whole lot of innings in some cases. From the guys they have, what do you expect, and what do they expect to see from them in the second half?
Well, I mean, we're seeing Henderson Alvarez pitch at an all-star level and be one of the best pitchers in the league from mid-May on. Not overpowering in terms of wow you with the strikeout numbers, but the stuff, the strike throwing, the confidence, the way he helps himself with the glove, with the bat, the competitiveness, really, really, you know, a surprise and kind of, you know, the new ace of the staff. They're going to need Nathan Eovaldi to pitch like a number two. I mean, they think he's a number two. He opened the season as a number two, and they get a little bit of way too much up and down with him. So he's going to have to step up and do that. Tom Kohler, who's been a real good surprise, you know, coming from fifth starter at a spring training to becoming a really solid, you know, 200-inning caliber guy, is going to have to show a lot more consistency in the second half, you know, getting on his end of more wins, if not individually the team wins when he's out there. It's going to start with those three guys. I mean, you know, Alvarez, Evaldi, and Kohler are just going to have to kind of anchor it and then hope that the rest of the rotation falls into place.
So I think, you know, when we think of the Marlins, we think of trading older players and bringing in younger players. But I think one of the great overlooked moves this offseason was getting Casey McGee to give Stanton some protection in that lineup. McGee's had an interesting year. Not a lot of home runs, but a lot of RBIs. Great batting average with runners in scoring position. Do you think he can come close to keeping up that pace in the second half?
Well, I mean, it's a really, I don't know if he's going to hit 390 with runners in scoring position all year, but the approach and just the plate discipline and the swing suggests why should there be a drop-off. I mean, he's got so much locked in on what his game is, especially adjusting to Marlins Park. And in fairness to him, if he's playing somewhere else a little more favorable, he'd have 6-7 home runs right now. But he's not sacrificed his swing. He's not tried to do too much individually in terms of the long ball. And just capitalize if they're going to, you know, be careful with Stanton, and they will be and will continue to be. I mean, Stanton was walked the other, you know, in St. Louis with the bases loaded with a two-run cushion, you know, and McGee ends the game with a double play. And, you know, teams are walking Stanton basically with the bases loaded, not essentially in that case. But, you know, McGee's the guy that is going to have a lot of guys on base in front of him because Yelich is in the, looking like he's going to have a good second half. So, you know, there's every indication that 100 RBIs is very realistic for this guy.
When you look around this lineup, nearly every spot is somebody that you can at least understand they'd be happy with. They're not all stars, but it's, you know, it's a top to bottom, a lot of guys who contribute. The one place where it seems like there's a question is second base. I obviously figured for call would be that guy. Is that something they look to upgrade in season? Is that something they wait till the off season? And if they don't do anything externally, what do they do at second base in the second half?
Yeah, that's a great point, Matthew. And that's the position, if along with starting pitching, you could call it 1A or 1B. But I'm in firm agreement. I think they're looking right now, you know, to see who could be out there to handle second base daily. And, you know, maybe there's an outside chance medically for calls, you know, not as severe as they thought, but still going to miss a substantial amount of time. Second base is defensively, Dietrich really struggled, and offensively, while he could hit the ball, the ballpark has lacked consistency with his swing, and reason why he's, you know, seeing less and less time. He's on the DL right now, but Solano and Lucas are manning it, and I think that by the deadline, some form of second baseman could be here. I think in the dream world, it would be Ben Zobrist, but I think he's on a lot of teams' wish list, and you know, at the price of the top prospect, and I'm not sure the Marlins are going to go that route. Clearly, the offseason, I see second base as a position that will be looked at strongly also for the Marlins.
So what do the Marlins hope to see from Christian Yelich the second half?
Probably a little more of the same. You know, health, I mean, he had a DL stint. It was pretty minor, but, you know, if he's healthy and he is just that approach he has, he's just a terrific pure hitter. He's got a big role. I mean, when they get off that really fast start, it was no coincidence he was on base a lot. And he clearly, you know, is a guy with a great eye. He's not, to me, the ideal leadoff hitter. He has to do it now because of Pascal's injury. But I see him ultimately being a good number two hitter, and then in a few years from now, possibly a number three type hitter. But, you know, Yelich is a guy that if he hits over 300 in the second half, you know, he had his peaks and valleys in the first half. But if he could be over 300 in the second half, it could be a very fun second half for the Marlins.
The Miami Marlins are certainly a team that's drawn some attention for some good things this year. We're eager to see what happens with them in the second half and really going forward. Joe Fusaro, thanks for joining us on MLB.com Extras, and we look forward to talking to you again.